Lighter-than-sums sacks erupted in a series of panicked burps. Two Yanmae had crept onto the damaged spirit's troop bays and were preparing to skitter inside their half-open doors into the Huragok's workshop. Then the Huragok did something Maccabeus had never seen before. Each of its healthy sacks swelled to twice their normal size, and it began beating itself with its tentacles, a surprisingly deep and menacing percussion. Lighter than some floated toward the Yanmae and would have continued right into their claws if Maccabeus hadn't grabbed hold of one of its tentacles and pulled it back. "By the prophets, what fresh insanity is this?" Tartarus growled.
"Varinus,"
Maccabeus said, parrying angry blows from the Huragok's other tentacles.
"Kill those two."
The tan-coated Jirohane drew his spike rifle from his belt and shredded the Yanmae on the troop bays. These two deaths finally subdued the swarm. Every insect in the hangar tucked their wings beneath their shells and drooped their antennae. But Varinus's fire only served to increase the Huragok's dismay. It stopped beating the chieftain about the arms, but only so it could sign at him with even greater ferocity. Maccabeus waved Varinus over and gave him custody of the Huragok.
"Fetch the deacon,"
he said, leaning heavily on the hammer. Varinus's signal unit buzzed.
"Chieftain, the deacon waits outside the lock."
"Then by all means, let him in."
Almost instantly, Dadab's spirit slid through the hangar's rippling energy barrier and came to a hasty stop beside Maccabeus's dropship. The chieftain waited for the deacon to make his way across the mess of dead Yanmae before he pointed at the Huragok and ordered,
"Tell me what it says."
The deacon and the Huragok began a lengthy conversation, a silent escalation of flashing limbs and fingers.
"Enough,"
Maccabeus snapped.
"Speak."
"I am deeply sorry for the delay, chieftain," the deacon's voice was strained. "The Huragok offers its sincerest apologies, but humbly requests that you keep the Yanmae from disturbing its work inside the bays."
The deacon's far too mannered explanation sent the Huragok into an angry, conversant spasm.
"Are you sure that is all it said?"
"It also wishes you to know,"
the Ungoy's voice was now a muffled squeal inside his mask,
"that it can very quickly undo what it has done."
"What it has done? Talk sense, deacon."
Dadab made a few simple signs with his hand. Then, as the Huragok headed into its workshop with an impatient bleat, Dadab dropped to his knees before Maccabeus.
"I take full responsibility for its actions, and humbly beg for your forgiveness."
Maccabeus stared down at the deacon. "It seems everyone has gone mad," he thought. But before he could tell the Ungoy to rise, he was distracted by the sound of creaking metal. Maccabeus watched, amazed, as the two damaged bays fell apart, collapsed in a clattering heap of hull plating. All their internal structure had been removed. The Huragok floated proudly over the wreckage, as if it had long planned this dramatic unveiling. It took Maccabeus a moment to process what the creature had revealed. Four vehicles now sat where the bays had stood. Each was a collection of slightly different parts, but they shared the same general design. Two-bladed wheels sandwiched together inside a reinforced chassis. Behind each set of wheels was a single anti-gravity generator, and behind the generator, a seat with high handles that Maccabeus assumed were the vehicle's steering mechanisms. "But there's more," the Huragok seemed to say, as it bobbled from one vehicle to another, activating the energy cores mounted above the machine's generators. With a crackle of sparks and belching purple exhaust, the vehicle's seats rose from the hangar floor, perfectly balanced against the weight of their bladed wheels.
"What are they?"
Maccabeus asked.
"And what are they for?"
"The aliens,"
the deacon wailed, groveling closer to Maccabeus' shaggy feet. Tartarus strode to the nearest vehicle.
"But where are their weapons?"
After a pause, Dadab slowly raised his head from the floor.
"Weapons?
Though these would have made short work of the whelps we faced today."
Tartarus ran a thick finger down one of the wheels, assessing its blade's martial utility. If he still felt the sting of his uncle's blow, it didn't show.
Weapons! Yes, of course! The deacon shouted, springing to his feet.
Then, in a voice so low Maccabeus could barely hear it above the machine's idling generators,
"The Haragok will be happy to affix whatever armaments you require."
Had the chieftain not again begun to focus on the quiet management of his pain, he might have more carefully considered the deacon's sudden change of tone. But now the only thing he wanted was to get off his leg and let it mend.
"Perhaps later, when the Yanmae have withdrawn."
"If I might make a suggestion?" Dadaab persisted.
"You can if you are quick."
"Let me take the Haragok to the orbital. Keep it safe until we can discern the reason for the Yanmae's unwarranted assault."
Maccabeus already knew the reason. The creatures were upset the Haragok had taken over their maintenance responsibilities and further addled by their unfamiliar combat role. After the Ungoy's poor showing in the gardens, the chieftain had thought it wiser to enlist the single-minded insects. But now it seemed all they wanted was to return to their old routine, and the easiest way to do that was to eliminate lighter than some.
"A wise suggestion. The Yanmae can complete its work."
Maccabeus took a final look at the Huragok's odd machines.
"Properly armed, these will be fearsome steeds."
The deacon bowed low and then trotted to the Haragok. Taking his comrade gently by one tentacle, he led it quickly to Khalid's waiting spirit. The chieftain saw the Haragok attempt to speak with the deacon as they settled inside the troop bay. No doubt it was curious what Dadaab and the chieftain had discussed, but the deacon's fingers remained still, his eyes warily watching Maccabeus, as the troop bay door swung shut. Gritting his teeth for the inevitable shifting of bone, Maccabeus turned and hobbled to the hangar exit, Varinus holding his arm tight and Tartarus stalking close behind.